The story of Tisha B'Av begins with V'yifku ha'am ba'layla ha'hu, begins with Bechia, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gezeira of Atem Bechisam Bechia Shalchinam. His tiny to Klal Yisrael who wept Bechia Shalchinam, and Aniyak V'lachem Bechia L'dayrai. So for that reason, Tisha B'Av is Kavua as a Leil Bechia. There's a basic problem with the expression that Klal Yisrael wept Bechia Shalchinam. China means for nothing. That Klal Yisrael wept for no reason. That's not really true. The Meraglim came back, and the people really believed what the Meraglim said. The Meraglim said Lo Nuchal, and the people believed it. Now they shouldn't have believed it. They should have had Betachin. All these tainis are true. But the weeping, the crying, was not Bechiyah Shalchinam. They wept because they were afraid. They were honestly afraid. They weren't making believe. They were afraid that they would not be Matzliach to go into Eretz Yisrael. Like Nuchal. And therefore the expression Bechiyah Shalchinam, as if the Bechiyah was totally wasted Bechiyah for no reason, seems incorrect. It needs a good explanation. Over the last few weeks, really the last few months, I have someone who I know well that is ill, is sick, and quite frankly is dying from an illness which she knew from the very beginning had no cure. It's really about 3 years since his diagnosis. And over the period of time, he has become much closer to the Rabbi Nishalaylam, much more than he ever was before, both in his thoughts, in his actions, and his machshavis, very much connected to the Rabbi Nishalaylam. But unfortunately, over the years, I've seen many people go through an ordeal such as this, Lo Aleinu, and the reactions are not always the same. It's sometimes hard to see what a person is really made of until a person is tested, Lo Aleinu. And the sense of his karvus, a feeling of the presence of the Rabbi Nishalaylam all the time, for him has been very real. When he had to undergo something very painful a few days ago, I was there, his cries were, God help me. God help me, instead of the usual expressions of pain. And it's been a period of time that he himself recognizes. It's been highly unusual. And in reflecting on Bechiyah Shalchinam, I came to realize that the opposite of a Bechiyah Shalchinam, of a wasted cry, is not crying. I think that's how we usually understand this Chazal, that Ata Bechisa Bechiyah Shalchinam, you wept for no reason, you shouldn't have been crying. If that's pshat, then my kasha is a kasha. They wept for a good reason. They were sure that they would not be matzliach to enter Eretz Yisrael. But the opposite of a bechiyah shel chinam is a bechiyah shel hiskarvus, the Rabbi Nishalaylam. It's a weeping, a sadness, where a person in his bechiyah sees a drawing close to the Rabbi Nishalaylam, hiskarvus to the Rabbi Nishalaylam. He sees something he doesn't want, something that he feels he has to cry about. Life is full of disappointments. Life is full of moments where a person feels a weeping, a bechiyah. Whether small or great, the things that come up in a person's way. And the idea of a bechiyah shel chinam, the opposite is a bechiyah shel tayelus. It's a bechiyah that has purpose. A bechiyah of hiskarvus to the Rabbi Nishalaylam, a bechiyah of closeness to the Rabbi Nishalaylam. It's an almost incredible comment. I mentioned in a private moment with him that he really made something out of these years, out of his experience. And he said to me, yes, but it should have happened 40 years earlier. Now, the comment to go through something like that, kilu, it should have happened 40 years earlier, is a recognition that sometimes is a bechia, which is a bechia that's wasted. And sometimes it's a bechia that's not chinam, it's not wasted, it's a bechia shel tayelus. Difficulties, problems, hard things, and a person makes something of it. Had Klal Yisrael, in believing the Meraglim is a chsarin, in Emunah, chsarin in Chavivas Eretz Yisrael, but had they instead undertaken because of that to be worthy in the Bechia, to draw close to the Rabbeinu Shalom, there would have been no complaint about the Bechia. There would have been no expression of complaint. So Rashi brings, Atem Bechisa Bechia Shalchinam, Vani Ekva Lachem Bechia L'dayres. Which again, by Pashup Shat, has many difficulties. If you're crying for nothing, therefore I'll give you a reason to cry, is a very cruel thing to say. Someone has a child who's crying for no reason. He says, you're crying for nothing, I'll give you a reason to cry. And he smacks him. He's doing something that's very cruel. It's not, there's no purpose. You're crying for nothing, so I'll give you a reason to cry. The words themselves, in the simple meaning, lack a certain level of dignity, of proper behavior. But the aniyak for lachem bechia l'dayrais is a bechia, an opportunity for bechia shel tayelus. The redeeming value of the bechia l'dayrais is that it should become a bechia shel tayelus, a bechia of hiskarvus to the Rabbeinu shel Olam. I'm hoping Bezus Hashem to go to Eretz Yisrael after Tisha B'Av. If not on Kafei Nisharim, I'll have to settle for something far inferior. But in thinking about visiting the Kaisel, and for the first time I'm taking grandchildren, and what is the hergish a person has in visiting the Kaisel? On the one hand, it's a simcha. It's a joy to be able to have the opportunity to do something that Chafetz Chaim dreamt of doing, of something the Grodno dreamt of doing, to be able to stand at the Kaisel, at the Har HaBayis, at the Mokem HaMikdash, to be able to stand at the Har HaMeria, to be able to stand in the place where there's a Pesach, full tefillahs of the whole world go through that spot. On the other hand, the Kaisel is a place of sadness. It's not a place where dancing and rejoicing is really appropriate. The Kaisel is the remnant. Somebody has just a destroyed home, and all that's left is one wall. I'm not going to dance and rejoice there. It's a place of incredible avelus. And there's somehow a mixture of different hergeshim when a person has that opportunity. And it's very hard to express it except as two different hergeshim. But if we understand that there's a concept of bechia shel hiskarvus l'Rabbeinu shel Olam, there's such a thing as sadness which brings with it a sense of drawing close to the Rabbeinu shel Olam, a bechia shel tayeles, then in the sadness there's a sense of purpose. In the sadness there's a longing. There's a talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That hergish, that combined hergish of Bechia and its karvus is really the whole purpose of Tisha B'Av, the whole purpose of the kinnus, the purpose of a davening, a kinnus, which basically says lama, it says echa, it says why. And we don't walk out of Tisha B'Av with an answer that's satisfying. We don't walk out with an answer that's a nachama to us. Because the flow of the kinnis, the flow of Echa, is a question. The idea of a question, just for the sake of a question, is difficult. Except that in difficulty, there's the idea that the bechia itself has to be a bechia shel eskarvus, a bechia of drawing close, a bechia of recognition of the Yad Hashem and everything that takes place around us. There's another dimension to bechia shel chinam. Chinam means free. Chinam means without any cost. The person has a certain taiva to get things free. It's a certain attraction to getting free shipping, even if the item costs more. Let's say the Baalei Machshava call klipa shel chinam. They call it a klipa, an attraction, not a good attraction, to get things for free. We find in Rashi, when the Pasuk says that Klal Yisrael complained to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and said, Zacharnu Esadoga Ashanechal B'Mitzrayim Chinam, remember that which we got to eat in Mitzrayim Chinam. So Rashi says, Chinam, they were slaves, you think they got things for free? And Rashi says, Chinam means Chinam from the Oil HaMitzvahs. The chinam from the oil, the responsibilities that are involved in a person getting things. The skarvus to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is a relationship which requires certain payments. The payments are Kabbalas al Malchus Shemayim, requires certain responsibility. Responsibility is to get up in the morning and go to sleep at night as a person who strives for Yiras Shemayim. The bechia shel chinam too, it's a certain bechia that doesn't include a sense of kabbalas al malchus shemayim. That's the chinam. That's when a challenge comes our way, when a moment of bechia comes in our lives, Hashem Yirachim. When these moments come, there could be a casting off of oil. There could be a sense of I'm in pain. I can't do that. I'm not. Self-pity, which maybe is understandable, but it's sad. If a person's going through something, to have it instead be accompanied by a renewed sense of El Malchus Shemayim, by a renewed sense of Iskarvus to Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then there's a Teyelus in the whole Bechia, then the whole Bechia is worthwhile. Those are tears that a Kaddish Baruch Hu counts and puts in his Beis Kenazav, in his treasure house. Not the bechia of the pain itself, it's the bechia, the reaction to the pain. The idea of an eskarvus, of a closeness to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Be'er Ra'i, he brings from the Magid, I don't know if he means which of the Magid Mev is rich, perhaps. He says a vart that it says in the Gemara, Shari Tfila Ninalu. Shari demois lo ninalu. The gates of tefillah were closed, not open as they once were. Shari demois lo ninalu. The gates of tears are never closed. So he asked, so why are there gates? Why are there shari dima? There should be a Pesach shal dima. Why are there gates? And he answers that for the dima shal chinam, it's ninalu. The gates are only open for meaningful demise. If somebody cries because he's in pain and there's no connection to El Malchus Shemayim, then there are gates. Some tears don't go through. The tears that go through are tears that are the tears of Iskarvus to Rabbeinu Shel Olam, of a meaningful connection to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Those types of tears are the bechia that Tisha B'Av is kavua for. It's set to be a time of connection to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam through these hergeshim, through these feelings of pain accompanied by Kabbalah soil, by Yiras Shemayim, by the ideas, the seriousness that the Torah demands of somebody. It should come forth in these days and these types of hergeshim. Sometimes people go through difficulties and they daven. They really daven to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And they have tainus, they have complaints, they daven. They daven and they daven. What does it mean to daven hard for something? What does it mean that a person expends effort in his davening? Does it mean that he davens a bit of a longer Shemayna Esrei? It's hard to escape the fact that it says in Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch that when a yachid has a tzara, it says that just as when a tzibur has a tzara, there's a concept of tainis tzibur. When a yachid has a tzara, there's a concept of tainis yachid, of a person fasting because of his tzara. This is unheard of. We're not on the madrega. We're too weak. I don't know what it means exactly. We're too weak. It seems to me that we're stronger than the generations that didn't eat like we eat. But it means, I guess, that we're weak in the ruach, in the spirit, and being able to endure a fast. We're weak generations. But you can't get away from the fact, as I state in Shulchan Aruch, a person complains, he wants to be answered. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a concept of a tainis yachid. Rav Schwab, in this week's parashah, in Veschanan, brings, it's a concept that I saw there first, and subsequently saw, is quoted in many places, an idea of what he calls the Tainus Arivid. The Arivid has a sefer, Balei Nefesh. And the Arivid there writes a concept of what's called the Tainus Arivid. He recognizes that not everyone is on the Madrega. When you have a Tzara Lo Yaleinu, to go and fast the whole day. The Tainus Arivid is to withhold yourself from something. To take some food that you like and restrain yourself and be makabel not to eat it. Or from a quantity of food. But somehow that a person should sacrifice something. Should give up something. Now, it's not easy to explain exactly why that is tefillah. Why is that davening? Restraining yourself. A person has a tzara, he's makabel. Makabel means he's makabel b'li nedem. He's makabel in Shemayna Esrei, Shemaka Eleinu. He davens for the thing that he wants. He's makabel on himself b'li nedem to refrain from whatever it is that he's makabel on himself. And he says, if there's a schus in that, let it be. L'teyela se'inu. What's the purpose? What does God have from your not eating ice cream or not eating candy? So the Ravid explains. The Ravid says that in a person being Moneya himself from the Taivis Olam Hazeh, from the things that he has in this world, he draws closer to the Rabbi Nishalot. The Gashmias Dika Taivis of Olam Hazeh, Lamaisa, they give us a root in Gashmias. When a person gives that up, it connects him. It connects him somehow to Ruchnius. Schwab explains with this a Vayishma Ha'am Baichel Mishpachaisav. Klai Yisrael was crying Al Aroya Shenesra Lahem. The Pasuk says they were crying on the fact that certain Taivis and Aroyas became Hasar. So Rav Schwab, yes, that Bechia is mentioned in the Parsha. When Klai Yisrael is for Basar, it's not in the Parsha, there's nothing to do with Aroyas. The Parsha is talking about Klai Yisrael mislining him, they wanted Basar. The man wasn't good enough. What does that have to do with Aroyas? Schwab makes this point. He makes the point that all Riboy HaTaivas are connected. Riboy HaTaiva and Prikas Oil are connected. Kindness to the Rabbi Nishal Oilam is connected to Riboy HaTaiva. And Fakert, the person who is restrains himself in Taiva, brings himself close. See, it comes back to the same word. Bechia shel chinam. You want things for nothing. You want things for free. A bechia has to be a bechia shel te'eles, not chinam. It's not for nothing. It has to be a te'eles, a purpose, a hiskarvis to the Rabbi Nishalayla. That's bechia. Bechia is bechia. You're afraid, you cry. The Rosh Hashanah doesn't have tainus that they cried. You have tainus that it was a bechia of chinam instead of a bechia of doubling down in an effort of being worthy to go into Eretz Yisrael, which should have been the response to the Meraglim. It was a yush. It was a b'chiyah shalchinam, a b'chiyah that didn't do anything for the person who was crying. It didn't do anything for him. It didn't bring him closer. It didn't... So when I learned this Ravid, who recommends a behavior of abstention, of abstaining, of not fasting a whole day, of something. I was wondering what the Rambam Shita would be in such a thing. The Rambam is the rationalist. What the Rambam Shita would be, I was in Eretz Yisrael when I was going through this, and I asked the Talmud Chacham there. So he showed me the Rambam in Shmoneh Parakim, in Perek Dalet of Shmoneh Parakim, where the Rambam writes that Olam Hazeh is an avodah of serving Hashem with Olam Hazeh, not with any extreme types of behavior, not with fasting, and not with separating yourself from people and living alone. But then the Rambam writes, if you will see a Talmud Chacham or a Tzaddik who's fasting, a Talmud Chacham who's Meineya Atzmei Mebosav Yayin, that's his Lashon, who doesn't eat meat or wine, you should know. He has a tzairach. He has something he's davening for. He has a chaylia nefesh. He has something. When he has something, then it's a correct behavior. Shein Rambam, his example is, Meinei Asvay Mibasav Yayin. The idea is the same idea. The idea of the opposite of Bechia Shel Chinam is Bechia Shel Tayelis. Bechia Shel Eskarvis to the Rabbi Nishalayim. A bechia, a challenge that brings a person closer, and that type of a connection. That's the idea. That's the focus. That's the purpose of Tisha B'Av. The purpose of saying kinnis all day. You would think if the Beis Hamidrash was charev because a lack of klai sol berchu b'tayra tchila, they didn't appreciate limud ha'tayra. You think we should learn a whole day Tisha B'Av. And yet we're restricted in Liman HaTayra. If the Aveira of the Chorban was Sinas Chinam, you would think on Tisha B'Av you should greet people warmly. On Tisha B'Av it's us to greet people. The Avoid of Tisha B'Av is to understand is an idea of Bechia Shel Tayelis, of a sadness that has Tayelis. Nobody wants to be sad. We want to be happy. And we should be happy, Alavai, we should be happy all the time. But there's a certain avoda in a moment of bechi, which brings a person, Iskarvus to Rabbi Nishon, which brings a person to a closeness, brings a person to, help me God, Rabbi Nishon, help me. At the end of Kriya Shema, we end with Ani Hashem Lekechem Emes, which really is a corruption of the whole pasuk. The pasuk, as you see in Chumash, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Shoytzeis Yeschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, V'yos Lachem Le'elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's the end of the pasuk. The word emes is not in the pasuk. And when we daven, we say Ani Hashem Elokeichem emes to the degree, I think many people, ordinary people, just think that's the pasuk. I am your true God. That's not the pasuk. There's a side pasuk on the Hashem Elokeichem. And we somehow corrupt it by connecting it to Emes. That's what it seems. And yet, it's in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Barachis, Daf Chav, that it's also to be mafsik, even to answer Amen, between Ani Hashem Elokeichem and Emes. Well, what's the pshat in Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes? Why are we saying it? So Gemara says, my taima. Why do we say it together? So the Gemara brings, because there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Hashem Elokim Emes. Hard to understand how that answers the question. You're saying the pasuk in Yirmiyah, say Hashem Elokim Emes. You're saying the pasuk in Parsha Shalach, you say Hashem Elokim, period. So Rav Schwab, in his Sefer on the Siddur, offers a deeper explanation, not a deeper, perhaps a correct explanation, an appreciated explanation of this pasuk. It was here, Sitzias Mitzrayim, The mitzvah in our Torah of Zechias Yetzias Mitzrayim can be mekayim with Emes Mitzrayim Galtanu. Yet Chazal v'kaveya here to be mekayim the mitzvah here on this pasuk. So Schwab says the pasuk has a double expression. Ani Hashem lekechem twice. Ani Hashem lekechem. It should say Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim. Yeschem lelekim. And again, Ani Hashem lekechem. That double Ani Hashem needs explanation. Rav Schwab Kedarka, he explains it with a rule, a kloliistic rule for the whole Chumash. He says that any time it says Ani Hashem or Anoichi Hashem, when Hashem talks to Klal Yisrael in first person, it means something very specific. He says normally the whole challenge of this world of Olam Hazeh, all the nisyonos of Olam Hazeh, are the hester ponim of the Ribono Shel Olam, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not seen. We can't see him, we don't hear him, we don't have gilui shchina, we don't see hester ponim is the nisyon of Olam Hazeh. When there are moments of gilui ponim, fleeting moments in the experience of Klal Yisrael, the experience of a Yid, and suddenly he has a hergish that the Ribono Shel Olam is smiling down at him. Those fleeting moments of Gilui Panim in Tanakh are marked with the words Ani Hashem, Anoichi Hashem, by Har Sinai, the Anoichi, or like Rashi says, Ani Hashem Nemon, Lemon Liten Tzchar. Sometimes it says the other way. Ani Hashem, to be margish, the presence of Hashem. The Ani Hashem Alekechem is a code for a hergish of Gilui Panim. So Schwab says that a person would think that his karvus to the Ribono Shel Olam is in moments of joy, in moments of excitement. When a person is holding by a moment of joy in his life, a special milestone, a person wins the lottery, a person has something that it makes him happy, you would think that's the moment of his karvus to the Ribono Shel Olam, and it is potentially. But the moments of sadness is hester ponim. One would think that moments of hester ponim are not moments of potential iskarbus. Ani Hashem lekecha v'sher tzeisi yeschem mi'eretz Mitzrayim. The galus experience, is also a moment, a double Ani Hashem lekecha. In the galus, a person also has potential of iskarbus to the Ribono Shel Olam, a potential to see these the bechia shel tayeles of iskarbus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a challenge, but that's the Ani Hashem Elokechem. The second Ani Hashem Elokechem is even then, even b'shas tzar v'tzara, when it seems like a moment of hester ponim, to sense Ani Hashem Elokechem, and that's why we have to endorse that with emes, v'yatzev, v'nochei, v'kayim, v'yoshar, with a hischaskos and belief that it can be done, that a person can achieve it, that a person can make it. And so that's the avodah of Tisha B'Av. The avodah of Tisha B'Av is a hiskarvus to Ribono Shel Olam, mitoich dema, mitoich disappointments, times that we're not happy with where we are. The pasuk Vayivku Ha'am, the Rechayim Hakadosh asks, "Does God despise tears? Ata bechisem bechia shalchinam. Does God despise tears? God doesn't want people to cry." He says these words. He says God wants people to cry, but the crying should be meaningful. Should have meaning. He says it depends what the bechia is. It depends which type of tears. All these things point to the same idea of the avodah of the day. The avodah of the day is to understand that bechia shalchina, bechia with nothing to show for it, wanting things for free, the whole segula craze besides that has no connection to Yiddishkeit, is really just the Yetzer Hara of Chinam, of doing some kind of crazy skula and suddenly being able to fix things. It doesn't work that way. You pay for things. The payment is kabbalas al malchus shemayim. The payment is doing something for it. You want to, so to speak, daven hard? Davening hard, kol hamarich b'tfilosai, and it says, doesn't mean a longer Shemayin Esrei. It means davening frequently. Davening frequently. Kaveh Hashem, daven to Rabbeinu Shalom, the Gemara says, if you're not answered, kaveh Hashem, so what do you do then? Chizku v'yamtzu levavchem, a person has to be mechazik himself. And then kaveh Hashem, then you daven again. All an avoida of his karvus to Rabbeinu Shalom. So, chazek v'yamtzu levavchem is the avoida of the day. The avoida of kinnis is, of course, the recognition that as Klal Yisrael goes to Golus, Klal Yisrael recognizes the Yad Hashem wherever we go. The Kel HaGodol HaGiba VaHaNoira in Shemini Esrei, we call Hashem Noira. It says that the Churban they took out Noira. Noira was removed from the Shemini Esrei. Aye Noira Isav. Noira means awesome. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, you saw the awe of the Rabbi Yishalom. You walked in the Beis HaMikdash, there was awe. So, the Nevi'im said, Ayena Raisav, Yirmiyah took out Hanoira from Shemayin Esrei. He said, Okel HaGadol, maybe HaGibar, but not Hanoira. And Rashi Knesset HaGdayla put it back in. Rashi Knesset HaGdayla said that Klal Yisrael is a keves ben shivim zeivim, that Klal Yisrael survives in the galus, hainu neira isav. It's not neira isav that a guy recognizes. It's neira isav that we have to work to recognize. And with that recognition, gives purpose. Gives purpose to a long, difficult galus, the challenges that we have. When the Sefer HaTanya came out, the Gra had two complaints. I'm not talking political, I'm talking about philosophical complaints regarding the Sefer. Things he held were apikorsis. And one of them was the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. The Shekhinah is everywhere. And that idea that les hasar poni minei, that wherever you go, the Rabbani Shalom, the Shekhinah's presence is there, the Gross said, it's not true. Ra doesn't exist with his Shekhinah. The idea of Tzimtzum is an idea that there are places where Kavi Yochel, the Rabbani Shalom, doesn't make it, there's no feeling of God's presence. That was the complaint of the Gross, and a lot has been written about it. It's a totally machshava dika topic, and it's not so popular. But Lamaisa, this was one of the machloiksim, machloikis, Gedali Yisrael in Hashkafa. And the Gemara says that the Yest Abaye and Rava, when they were children, where's Hashem? So one of them pointed to the ceiling, and one of them pointed to the sky, and they said, wow, these people are going to be Gedali Yisrael. So when you look at the Gemara, you wonder, what's the big deal? But the Havana of the Gra is that the idea that Hashem is here and there and everywhere is it's not a technically correct idea. The idea is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Hester part. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not where we see Him all the time. Kotzka said, where is God? He said, if they had asked Him, He would have said, wherever you invite Him in. Which is really the idea of the Bechiah Shel Tayelis. When there's Hester upon him, there's no sense of a Hiskarvus to Rabbi Yishalayim. That's the time for Bechiah Shel Tayelis. That's the time. And Michtam Eliyahu, very interesting, it's something you can learn on Tisha B'Av. He has, I think it's in the fifth Chelik, he tries to make Shalom. He says that the Balatanya and the Gra weren't arguing. There's an argument in how to express it, and he makes shalom between the two sides. The whole series of letters between the Michtam Eliyahu and his son-in-law on the topic that's printed elsewhere on the topic. As once at a simcha, I was sitting next to Rav Matisyo, so I asked him what the Mitzvah Milyo says. Is it really that way? You know, for 200 years they've been fighting and you make shalom. So Rav Matisyo smiled. He says, "I, Reb Elia," referring to the Mitzvah Milyo, "so Reb Elia, habib gahat machin shalom." That's what he says. But as far as we're concerned, both lessons are there. The lesson on the elementary level of Kaddish Baruch Hu, as in Hashem is everywhere. Not sure what Uncle Maishi meant exactly. Certainly Kaddish Baruch Hu controls everything. But that lesson, that you have to, in times of Hester Panim, there's Hester Shechina, there's no feeling of Shechina. Your person has to bring it in. In time of Hester Panim is a time of Kabbalah Salmachu Shemayim. Rabbi Kiva says, Shemayim Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's a time of Bechia. It's a time of Kabbalah Salmachu Shemayim. It's a time to have a Bechia Shaltayelus. So Lamaisa, that is the lesson of this period of time, of Tisha B'Av, the lesson of the next couple of hours, of the saying of Kinnis, of the connecting to Rabbi Nishal Olam. And I hope as we go through the Kinnis, we'll try to see once again that it's not just repetitious. Every one of the kinnah has its own theme and its own focus.